So just want to say thank you to Victory Missionary Baptist Church for allowing me to come in view of a call. And there are a few people here that I would just like to say thank you for supporting me. A couple of friends of mine that came from Tulsa. A couple of friends of mine that came from Little Rock today. And that just really makes me happy. And last but not least, my parents are here and my sister are here. And I love you guys. Y'all know that. I am the baby of the family. And as you guys know, babies tend to cry. So I won't cry up here, but I will probably cry later. So I want you guys to go ahead and turn to Romans 10, chapter 10. And I really, really wanted to preach on Romans 5 through 13. But as I began to look at the scripture, Romans 5 through 8 was what I really could focus on. Romans 5 through 13 is a lot to talk about. So as you're turning there, I just want to tell you guys a little bit about me and where I came to know Jesus. And I remember being 8 years old, and my parents, we would go to a church in a town, and I don't know if you could call it a town, but it's called Beulah, Arkansas. And if you don't know where Beulah, Arkansas is at, it is outside of Bisco, Arkansas. If you don't know where Bisco, Arkansas is at, it is outside of Duval's Bluff, Arkansas. If you don't know what Duval's Bluff is at, it is outside of Des Arc, Arkansas. Des Arc, Arkansas is in Perry County. It is the biggest city in Perry County. So don't get it twisted. A few of my Tulsa friends would probably call Des Arc rural, really rural, as they would say. There is where I would hear the gospel message, and I thank my parents for taking me to church. Because all I can remember as a child is thinking, man, church is really long. Really, really long, and I don't know what's going on. But thankfully, something grabbed my attention as I remember getting emotional and fired up and back pews at a young age. And that something was Jesus working in my heart. So working up the courage to ask my mom and dad about heaven and hell and Jesus, it was then where I accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ into my heart. So parents, if you're here with your kids today, keep bringing your kids to church. Because while they might go to the bathroom 5 times during the sermon or play with other kids during church or even be threatened for spanking, God can still reveal himself to them at a young age. So all of it is worth it. When I accepted Christ in my heart, I knew I was saved and I knew I was going to heaven. But the actions of myself and my lifestyle didn't change until I got to college. I had met a friend there named Brady, and as we both knew that we were at a crossroads in life, being away from home and at college where we can make our own decisions without our parents, it was there in August of 2013 where I experienced a change in my actions because of Jesus being in my heart. Without the heart physically, we cannot do anything. It pumps our blood. Without the heart physically, we cannot function. Without the heart spiritually, we cannot function. I asked a friend of mine who's on her way to becoming a nurse. I asked her, I said, what does the heart do? And she said, Josh, you have to have the heart to survive. Right? We have to have our heart spiritually in the right place to survive. And that right place is with Jesus. So today I want you to ask yourself, is Jesus in your heart? And do the actions of your life reflect the relationship that you have with him? I do understand that this passage of scripture is often recited to show how to accept Jesus into your heart. But if we can, let's look at this scripture and let's learn something new today, because the word is very alive, always. So here we are in Romans, and just to give a little background on where we're at, because this portion of Romans for me was very difficult. From Romans chapter 9 to chapter 11, Paul is talking about why the Jews are rejecting Jesus. And to go even further, he yearns for them to believe in Jesus and recognizes that they are cursed in chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. And in the beginning of this chapter, Paul picks up where he leaves off in chapter 9 as he's telling his people, "It is my heart's desire that you, all the people of Israel, be saved." It says in Romans chapter 9, verse 32, they did not pursue salvation, but faith, by faith, but pursued salvation as if it were based on works, trying to do the right things with their actions without having the right heart behind it. The Jews had misunderstood the heart and true meaning of their own law when it was created on Mount Sinai. So when Jesus comes to fulfill the law and acts as the goal and the purpose of the law, they misunderstand him also because they did not have faith but works. They missed the point in the beginning, so therefore they missed the point in the end. Because we know that in Matthew 5:17, that Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill the law. So if you've ever been late to the movies, or if you've ever been like me in high school and had to give a book report and a book that you didn't read, you can be like the Jews and miss the point and not understand it all because you didn't get the beginning. While they never grasped the true meaning of it in the beginning, they're not possibly going to understand the end because Christ is the law. He is to fulfill the law. So as we stand to read Romans 10, 5 through 8, it says this: for Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, just thank you for this day and thank you again for this opportunity, Lord. I just pray that I am not seen today. It is not me giving this message, Lord, but people hear you and the message of your gospel, God. I pray that you use me as a vessel, Lord. And I pray that we can be honest with ourselves and where we're at right now in our relationship with you tonight, or today, excuse me. Father, we love you and it's in your name I pray. Amen. So we're going to break down these scriptures. And again, righteousness is brought up by Paul talking about Moses. The person who does the commandments shall live by them. And so I want you to turn, if you can, really quick to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. Because Paul is quoting the Old Testament on his way to showing that the following of Jesus is based on the heart, and the following of Jesus can be achieved. And so in Deuteronomy, it says, verse 11, it says, now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not in heaven, so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. Paul quotes the words of Moses to show that the law, to show the law, and that it was created to separate the nation of Israel apart from the world through God. And that now Jesus has come and has died and rose again so that we can now be set apart from the world through faith in Christ. He has the word faith in here, in this quote, because it is now through faith, it is now through Jesus that we believe. In verse 6 and 7, it points to Jesus also. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven. That is Christ. That is to bring Christ down. Christ has already came down, right? Or who will descend into the abyss. That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Christ has already rose from the dead. So God has made faith achievable through Christ. It is not too high, it is not too low for us to grasp. I don't know if y'all have ever heard that song, ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low. Right? Hope is here and it is attainable through the salvation of Jesus Christ. I cannot blame the Jews for not comprehending the message of Jesus, because sometimes even myself, having believed in Jesus in my heart, I can go through the motions of works without having the heart in the right place. When I got to Tulsa, I immediately sought out a church. I immediately sought out accountability. I immediately sought out to serve, because I thought if I did those things that it would carry myself into showing faith in Jesus. But in reality, I had to circle back, because I was not basing my actions on my relationship with Jesus. I had put it on the back burner because I thought those other things were more important. And hear me say, they are important. Being in community of Christ, Christian believers, is important. Having accountability is important. And serving is important. But Jesus wants a relationship with you first. Because if we have a relationship with Him, it spurs us to do those things. We know that the law is intended to be for the Jews, but we also know it was unachievable because nobody can keep all the commandments. The law was also made an idol by some of the Jews called the Pharisees. In Matthew 23, it says, "The Pharisees preach but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger." They do all their deeds to be seen by others. See, it is perhaps man's fault that we get things wrong simply because we are sinners. We can seem faithless when our heart is not postured towards God, but yet we want to go through the motions of having faith. Faith isn't going through the motions. Faith starts in the heart. When we do that, when we go through the motions, we are simply treating the gospel like nice clothes that we put on so people can notice us. Wanting to be separate and wanting to be set apart, but not being set apart at all in the heart. Do we not think that God will not notice our hearts? 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" Proverbs 21:2, "Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs his heart." Proverbs 27:19 says, "As water reflects the face, so does the heart of man reflect the man." The heart is important. The heart is everything spiritually. And it must be in the right place. We live in a world that tells us to follow your heart. A world that tells us to do what our heart desires. You know how many times I have followed my heart and been in the wrong place? We like to think all the feelings and emotions that dwell in us are the right feelings and the right emotions. But feelings are fleeting. They come and they go. We can often forget that our desires are of the flesh. Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things. Do not follow your heart. Your life is not a Hallmark movie. Don't do what your heart desires unless it is with Jesus. The heart can make you look immature. It can have you seem lost. And just go on Facebook and Instagram, go on TikTok, and people are pouring their hearts out there in posts. And I'm not saying that those social media platforms are not good. But when those posts become everything that you talk about, all that you think about, it becomes an idol. Today, people think that the heart is telling them to change their gender or that they can like whoever they want to. Following your heart without Jesus can tell husbands and wives to cheat on each other or convince young kids that it's okay to watch pornography. It can tell young adults that it is okay to be sexually immoral, and that is not okay. That is not Jesus. That is not God's desire for us. We live in a world that doesn't want to step on anyone's toes. So it's okay to do whatever you want and be whoever you want to be as long as the world says so. Do not follow your heart. Follow Jesus so that he can make your heart pure. Following the heart can lead you to an identity crisis if you're not careful. When I was in Tulsa, it was my birthday. I just turned 26. And what you do when you're in a big city and you don't have your friends yet, on your birthday you go for a walk. And so Route 66 is right by my apartment, and there's a trail that goes along that apartment. And as I was walking, a gentleman stopped me, and he said, "Hey, there's this man on this bridge that's about to jump." And so, of course, I approached the gentleman, and I say, "Hey, what's going on?" He said, "No, I'm fine. Leave me alone. Leave me alone." And so I did. And me and the gentleman that stopped me, we had just waited there. And not knowing what to do, we just waited, and I just prayed. He had called 911, and we waited about 30 minutes for them to get there as police cars were passing us by. Finally, eventually, firefighters came, and they rescued the gentleman. But as they were rescuing him, he still wanted to jump. And I remember walking back to my apartment, because I still had a half a mile to go, and thinking, what is going on in this man's heart? And I was just thinking, wow, I can't imagine what his heart must be like to put him in that place. We must have our hearts in the right place. And that place is with Jesus. Verse 8 says that the Lord is near us. Psalms 145:18 says the Lord is near all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. Psalms 34:18 says the Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed spirit. Thank God we can have salvation, because it is amazing grace that we are able to be with Jesus and be with God. But lastly, does that show in your lifestyle? Does your lifestyle show your relationship? Do we spend time with the Lord? Do we have accountability? Are we making disciples? And are we doing all of that because our heart is with Jesus? Are we doing all of that just to look good? Going through the motions? I want to tell you a story that is found in all four of the Gospels. It is a story of Judas and Peter. And Judas and Peter both walk with the Lord for 3 years doing ministry. God gives Jesus the authority to give them the power to do the work of God in Matthew 10:1. And yet, we see an example of how the heart is important in Matthew 27, because even while we might seem close to Jesus, we can still have it all wrong in our actions because we are sinful. However, that is often the beauty of God, that all of his work points back to him and not the person doing the work, right? And if you're here and believe in Jesus Christ today, this is especially for you, because Judas and Peter are disciples of Jesus, and we know in Matthew 27, they both sin against God. In verses 14 through 16, we see when approached by chief priests that Judas is willing to deliver Jesus to them for 30 pieces of silver. We know in verses 69 through 72 that Peter denies Jesus 3 times. You can be so close to Jesus, but yet so distant in your heart. I'm not here today to make you question your salvation. That is not my goal. For if you have called on the Lord in your heart, and believe that in your heart, confess that with your mouth, you will be saved. That is what the Word says. But I am here to just tell you to look at your heart. And if you're here today and, you know, maybe your heart's not, maybe you do believe in Jesus, but your heart isn't in the right place, and you need to get back to that, just want to show you a scripture in Luke 9:23. It says, if anyone were to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So if anybody has their heart in the wrong place, deny themselves. They need to deny themselves. They need to take up their cross. They need to take up the word. And they need to follow Jesus. And they need to do it every day. We need the gospel every day in our lives. Every day we need to preach to ourselves the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is how we get our heart in the right position. Lastly, I want to read this excerpt from a book called Gospel Treason by a pastor called Brad. His name is Brad Bigney. And we took this class in Tulsa. Me and my friends did. We took a class at a church in Tulsa about worship of the heart and how we don't know that we store idols in our heart. But this passage says, God's word in his gospel should be like an IV bag that keeps your soul hydrated with living water, steadily dripping the hope-giving, life-altering, joy-igniting, perspective-changing truth that will then shape how you feel, regardless of what's going on around you, because it's based on the objective, unchanging truth of God's word, instead of your ever-changing, easily deflated, and often misguided feelings. God is more than feelings. He is everything. So we're going to have a verse of invitation. And if you are here today and you do not know the Lord and Savior, please come. There's going to be staff members down here. Please come and receive him if you want to know him. If you're here today and you do believe in Jesus but have gotten it wrong and trusted in your works and not in your faith, come get right with him. Talk to somebody. Or if you're here today and you're visiting today and you don't have a church home and the Lord is telling you to be a member of this church, please come down and receive that. So I'm going to pray and then I'm going to open this up. Father God, Lord, just thank you again. Lord, help us to make our hearts right with you. Lord, give us a clean heart. Father, I pray that right now that we are just honest. Again, we are just real, Lord. And I pray that nobody feels judgment, for there is no condemnation for anybody that wants to come and know you. This is my prayer, Lord, and it's in your name I pray. Amen.